Is there a difference between inspiration and motivation? My name is Dawn Culp. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, meditation coach, and owner of The Zen Room in Gilroy, California. You can also find us online at www.thezenroom.net. And today we're going to be talking about the distinction between inspired and motivated. Hi everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Zen Room. So today's topic, as I kicked off this podcast, is going to be around the distinction between motivation and inspiration. And most people don't really give either one of those camps very much thought. They kind of interchange or intermingle or mix up the two. And so what I want to do is I want to take this time at the beginning of a brand new year, where lots of people are thinking about creating the year that they want ahead of them and projecting out in front of them where their goals are or their intentions are. And all of those things are really, really cool to keep us on a track. The reason that I feel called to do this conversation at the beginning of this new year is because I'd like us all to make sure that as we build our what category, our what column, what we want to achieve, what we want to attract, what we want to manifest, what we want to create, that we are really, really clear about our why. We all have a laundry list of what's, but do we ever really give much thought as to why those what's are on our list to begin with? And that led me, as I was meditating towards this conversation, that led me to a very, really important distinction. If we are the cars, our body are the cars, and our life is the path, or if our bodies are the train and life is a train track, what fuels us? That's the question I have for everyone listening. What is the fuel? If you're a train, is your fuel coal, or is it steam, or are you projecting into the future when there will be solar powered, whatever? What is your, if you're a car, if you're going to use the car and the path or the road analogy, what's the gas going into your car? Is it a solar powered car, electric car? Is it a gas car, diesel car? Every single mode of travel requires energy to get us from point A to point B. So if we are the car and the road is our life or the track is our life, then what is fueling us? What's our fuel? And what I want to talk about today are two different kinds of fuel. So in your mind's eye, or if you're a very visual person and you kind of want to jot this down, maybe if you've got a piece of paper handy, or if you can just imagine two columns in your mind, with the left column being motivation and the right column being inspiration, I want everybody to start realizing, first of all, that those are two different kinds of fuel. That's first and foremost. There's two different kinds of fuel and how they are different from one another. Okay, so let's start with motivation. Motivation, in case you haven't given it much thought, motivation is external. There is something out there motivating you, driving you into action or decision or choice. Motivation is a pushing force. It's like something is pushing you to do something. I will also tell you that motivation is led by fear. So, let me give you a for instance. You wake up in the morning, your eyes pop open, and you go, "Ugh, I really don't want to go to work today. I'm not enjoying my work. Nothing about my work makes me feel passionate or excited. But man, I gotta go to work because I gotta get that paycheck because I gotta pay my bills." And if you were to quit your job, let's face it, there would be a nervousness around not being able to pay your bills. So, what do? You kind of beat your chest, you wake up, and you give yourself a really good pep talk, and you go, okay, I'm gonna make today as good as I can. I'm gonna roll out of this bed, and I'm gonna drink as much coffee as I need to get motivated, to hop in the shower, so that I can wake myself up and get motivated to put on my best clothes, and all of these things. Motivation, motivation, motivation. All because you are afraid of not getting a paycheck. Let's face it. Would you do the job for free? That's a really good little litmus test as to whether or not you're motivated or inspired. Would you do it for free? So, motivation tends to be fear-based. It tends to be artificial, and it tends to need a lot of willpower to go and do it, because at the end of the day, it is driving you towards an achievement. An achievement. But there is a difference between an achievement and fulfillment. Fulfillment is going to hop us over to the other column, the other side of the white piece of paper, or the other column in our mind's eye. Inspiration. Inspiration is a driving force. Inspiration is very much organic. It is inside of you. You can't not do it. You can't not do it. It is organic. It is love. The word inspiration is actually, it actually comes from the word in spirit, inspire, inspire, in spirit. So it's very much aligned to your spirit, to you, to who you are, to what fills your heart's desire. And when you follow the track of fulfillment and inspiration, you don't have to pound your chest to get out of bed. You're jumping out of bed. You can't wait to get out of bed. Let's start this day. Let's get going. You can't be held back. There is a driving force at your back that is pushing you, or it's the wind beneath your wings, right? It's a driving force. You can't not do it. So if you think about two train tracks or two roads, one of them is motivation and it's led by fear. One of them is inspiration and it is driven by love. And the two are night and day. So, is there a difference between being inspired and being motivated? You're starting to get the picture. So, as you are coming up with your new beginnings for the year, as you are coming up with your creations or what you want to create or what you want to manifest or what you want to attract or what you want to have intentions to do for the year ahead of you, all of these new beginnings, if you're the car or you're the train, and life is the track or life is the road, what gas are you putting into your vehicle? Inspired gas or motivated gas? That's the first big moment that you need to have with yourself, because if you find yourself filling your tank with motivation, 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 and everything is, all 90% of what you do and why you do is motivated from a fear-based place, maybe the place to start for the new year is looking at ways, looking at places where you can add a little more inspiration to your mix. So what does that mean? I will tell you, we live in a society here in the West that is very achievement-based. It is very, well, I need the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids and the dog and the car and the mortgage, like all of this to prove to myself that, okay, I've made it, or I'm worthy, or whatever. A lot of times that is fed to us from an external source. We are programmed all the time, every way and every day, what successful looks like. But most people don't talk about what success feels like. I'm not talking about the achievement part. I'm talking about the feeling in the heart. So, that said, there is something very thrilling I admit it. I raise my hand. It's part of the human experience, and I honor and respect it. There's something very thrilling about setting a goal for yourself, being laser focused towards that goal, and accomplishing it. Something very thrilling about setting a goal and accomplishing it. But what I will tell you is this. When it is an inspired goal versus a motivated goal, it is unbelievably fulfilling, unbelievably heartwarming to get it, satisfying, that's a good word. And so if you find yourself having to pound your chest and drink a lot of coffee in the morning just to wake up and get motivated to do the next thing, to get motivated to do the next step, to get motivated to do the next step, it's a drag. And it takes an awful lot of energy to get through the day, which is probably why there's so many really, really, really successful franchises for caffeine in the world, because we are all feeding that caffeine to motivate ourselves using every external resource that we can get our hands on just to make it through the day. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to be honest, right? We all have those. We all have motivating factors. And guess what? This world is not free to live in, and I understand that. But at the end of the day, what if you could allow yourself to say, who's to say that I can't be motivated, if I can't be fulfilled and reach achievements all in the same breath? Why can't I do what I love for a living and make money? Why are they mutually exclusive? For some people, that is a very far bridge to get to. Oh my God, you think that I can actually make a living doing something that I love? But I don't see how. Well, we happen to live in a country that you can make money doing just about anything. My husband's a dog trainer, and he, about 15 years ago, 12 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, heard about a company that they decided they wanted to help you pick up your dog poop. And we both kind of laughed, and we go, you know what, if you could pull that company off anywhere, it's probably right here in America. And sure enough, all these years later, the company's huge. Because those people have figured out a way of taking something that was a need. People are busy, and they're running around, you know, taking kids to school and going to work and taking kids to soccer practice and going to the grocery store, like doing all the things that we need to do. The last thing that they wanted to do or had time to do at the end of the day was pick up their dog poop. So somebody said, hey, you know what? I love being around dogs. It's a way for me to own my own business. They found a way of taking something and turning it into a great big enterprise, and good for them. In this country, if you want to challenge yourself to say, why can't I do what I love for a living? You will be miraculously surprised if my assumption is, my observations have been, my experience has been, if you are passionate enough about it and you give it your all, you can make a business doing anything you want. I have seen it happen over and over and over again, but the key word in there is passion. Fuel. Inspiration. You can't not do it. You hop out of bed. Now, hop out of bed going, gosh, I can't wait to have another day. Just like yesterday. It was a great day. I love what I do. Now, does that mean that you will want to hop out of bed every day? No, there's going to be rough days no matter what you're doing. There's going to be rough days whether you're running off of motivation steam or inspiration steam, because that's just the way that life goes. That's where all the juicy lessons are, in those, you know, more difficult moments or those teachable moments. But at the end of the day, most of the time, if you can say a good percentage of the time, 80% of the time, you are living an inspired life and not a motivated one, that is pretty darn good. So what I want everyone here to do is we need to be realistic. We did not get to wherever we are overnight. We learned some habits from our family. We learned habits from our ancestors. We learned habits from our programming, whether that programming is social media, whether it's television, whether it's radio, whether it's watching others, having other examples teach us or train us how what life might be able to look like. So what I would like you to do is I'd like you to be honest with yourself and say, all right, so here I am, beginning of 2019. And if I'm being honest with myself, I'm 50-50. I am 50-50, 50% of the time I spend time doing things that inspire me and I'm led by inspired action, and the other 50% of the time I am motivated out of fear or motivated to avoid being punished or whatnot, right? So we drive the speed limit because we don't want to get a ticket. That's motivated action. If there was no speed limit, people would be driving probably much faster than 55 or 65, depending on where you are. If we're looking to avoid punishment, if we're looking to avoid pain, that is motivated action, right? So ask yourself as you are applying for a new job, am I applying for this job because I love this job, or am I applying for this job because I am motivated out of fear or wanting to avoid pain? Those are all very fair questions. So let's just say you're 50-50. 50% of the time that you spend, the things that you do are inspired, and the other 50% of your time is spent motivated, trying to avoid pain or punishment or you know, operating out of fear. What I would say is, what if you were to say, where in my life can I add a little bit more inspiration? Because when you do things that inspire you, when you do things that drive you, when you do things that fill your heart and leave you feeling fulfilled, you are putting yourself on a track. You are putting yourself in a position. You're choosing a road where more things like that exist. So let me give you a little analogy here. Let's say that your name is John Smith, and you just lost your job. Motivation, fear, is absolutely an understandable place to live in that moment. You have bills to pay. You've got a car payment to make. You've got food to put on the table. You've got a mortgage or rent that you need to take care of. So losing a job is 99.9% of the time going to put you in onto a track where motivation is the gas. Understandably so. So, if you're on this train, if you're on this train track and you got to put food on the table, that motivator is powerful. That fear motivator is powerful, powerful, powerful. You're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to put those feet on the ground, you're going to grab that cup of coffee, you're going to hop in the shower because you are motivated to get a job so that you don't have to starve. I get it. Perfect. Makes sense. And most likely that is not the time for you to say, oh, what does my heart want? You know what? I'll tell you what my belly wants. My belly wants breakfast and food in the fridge. I get it. But when you have a break, let's say you get the job and you're grateful for the job, and you, maybe it's not the job of your dreams, but darn it, it's going to put food on the table right now and it's going to serve a purpose, and you say, thank you, I am so appreciative that it is serving a purpose. My family has the food they need. We're able to pay the rent or the mortgage. We're in good shape now. Wonderful. That was the right track to be on. It was very motivated, and pain and punishment are big, they are big motivators for sure. I get it. We don't like to be hungry. But then you got the job. And it's status quo, and you've learned the ropes, and the learning curve is behind you, and you've been there like maybe say 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Things are okay. You're on the track. Things are better. You're feeling in those moments when you have stabilized the ship, so to speak. Those are the moments to say, all right, where in my life can I start to find a little bit more inspiration? Where in my life can I start to find a little bit more fulfillment? If I won the lotto tomorrow, would I keep this job? The ship is stabilized. I'm grateful for it, and it feels good to be stable and grounded and on my feet again. But if I won the big, huge lotto tomorrow, would I keep this job? If the answer is no, that is your first clue that you are not being inspired. So, what does that look like? What am I asking of all of you at the beginning of this new year? I'm asking all of you to look and say, okay, where in my life can I do things that make me feel joyful, that bring a smile to my heart? Maybe it is you take up a hobby. Maybe you do that hobby 1 to 2 hours a week. Maybe that hobby looks like a couple of hours on Saturday. And it brings joy to your life. And maybe that hobby is piano. Maybe that hobby is piano or drawing or, I don't know, maybe it's coaching soccer. Start pulling things into your life that bring you joy, because when you start to jump the track from going 100% on the motivation track to maybe spending a little bit more time on the fulfillment and inspired track, what you will notice is a shift in how you feel. A shift in your vibrations, so to speak. You can feel the difference between something that feels heavy and a drag to something that feels lighthearted. You find yourself, if you were a coach, for whatever reason, you had to give it up because you had to go get a quote-unquote real job, but now you've got a son of your own and you're coaching his little league team and it's your favorite part of the week. That does huge things for your constitution. That does big things for how you feel. You look forward to it all week. You have something to look forward to. I love having something to look forward to. And what it tells you is, well, gosh, that was really fun. I actually have a little bit more time and energy to maybe coach my nephew's little league team too. And it works out that they need a coach. And so I'm going to coach back to back. I'm going to coach two little league teams. How fun. That sounds like fun. Next thing you know, you are falling in love with your Saturdays again. And you are not 100% all on the motivation track. You are now, let's say, 90% motivation, 10% inspiration. And let's say that you decide that this is something that's really fun for you. And one thing leads to another, and you rendezvous with a really cool opportunity to teach after-school sports one day a week. Next thing you know, you're like, gosh, I work from home on Fridays, and actually Fridays I'm usually done by 3. I could totally teach the after-school sports program on Fridays. Well, that'd be fun. Now you're, again, shifting from 90-10 to maybe 85-15, and you're doing more and more things that are fun and inspiring, and lo and behold, you find yourself hating your life less. Wahoo. Wahoo. So, but most people, somewhere deep down in their minds, they go, you know what? I don't think I can actually make a living doing what I love. I'm just going to be fine settling for the 85-15 split. Okay, that's fine. I encourage you to at least shoot for 80-20, maybe 70-30, okay? But I'm going to go back to my dog poop scoop enterprise example that I gave earlier in this podcast and say, well, instead of saying to yourself, I can't make money doing what I love, maybe you twist that in your head a little bit and say, how can I make money doing something that I love? Now, let's face it, by now you've been in this new job for, let's say you've been in this new job for a year, and you can pretty much do it with your eyes closed, and you're good at it, and they appreciate you, and you appreciate the income, and it's a symbiotic relationship, and that's all fine and good, but what used to take you 10 hours to do, you can really do in 6, and you're such a valuable part of the company now that you could reasonably do 2 days a week from home and still get the work done and not slack off at all and have a little bit more time to do something that you're passionate about. My request to all of you listening is this. I understand when it's all hands on deck that you have got to be fueled by your motivation. That makes sense to me. I get it. But what if when the ship is stabilized, or when the train is on the track and it's just sort of going, and it's the momentum is pretty much there, what if you were to say, I want to explore, play with, investigate ways where I can be more fulfilled in my life? It's not just about having all of the stuff, having the spouse and the house and the picket fence and the 2.5 kids and the dog and the really nicely manicured lawn. Like, those are achievements, and I get that those are satisfying, but there is nothing like doing something that makes you feel fulfilled. It makes you feel like, I wouldn't trade my life in for anything in the world. That's a beautiful thing to do. So, my recommendation is not to jump from one track to the next. That would probably be detrimental to most people. Basically, I know it's tempting to do the whole take this job and shove it, I'm going to go do something that I love thing, but then you're in another conundrum. That conundrum is, then if you jump one track to another too quickly and you don't migrate slowly over, unless you won the lotto, then what happens is you say, I'm going to owe it to myself. I know what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be an artist. Okay, and you decided that you were going to jump from one track to the next. And like I said, hey, for some people, that works. But for a lot of people, what I've noticed is if you just jump from the motivation track to the inspiration track without any kind of gentle easing or crossing over, it can be a bumpy transition. And here's why. Because you have a certain lifestyle, most people have a certain lifestyle that requires a certain amount of income. Let's face it, it does not. No one can live for free. No such thing as a free lunch, my dad used to say. And what happens is if you jump ship too soon, it may feel really, really liberating in the moment, but then what happens is that next mortgage check comes anyway. The next PG&E or electricity bill check comes anyway. And what happens is then you are requiring your new inspired job, you're an artist, now you're going to go off and make a living doing artist work, or you're a, whatever, in my husband's case, you're a dog trainer, now you have to go off and you're going to go do dog training work. But the problem is, it is in its infancy. Meaning, this new desire, this new fulfillment, this new thing that you want to run off and go do is in its infancy. It's fresh out of the, it's a fresh bun right out of the oven. And you cannot expect a baby to go off and earn income. That's something that you grow into. That's something that you slowly grow into. First of all, the baby's got to learn to crawl, then walk, then talk, then feed itself and do all of these things. And then eventually it's going to get a part-time job after school. And then eventually it's going to be a full-time job. And then eventually it's going to be a career. But if you put all of the pressure on your new baby to earn all of the income as if it's already an adult, you are choking the baby before you give birth to it. So, while I am a fan of inspiration, absolutely a fan of inspiration, I would like to pose this as an offering. Ease your way into it. Do more things on a daily basis, weekly basis, to incorporate it bite by bite. Like I said, if you win the lottery, this whole podcast does not apply to you. But what happens is this. Most people think of it as, well, I'm either going to be 100% on the motivation track or 100% on the inspiration track. And the idea of hopping over to the inspiration track, it sounds great, but it doesn't feel reasonable. So most people don't even go there a little bit. Or the motivation track is so unbearable that they hop over to the inspiration track. They feel relief in the moment, and then they realize, oh shoot, now I've got to have my brand new beginning earn me the income that I had when I was over on the motivation track, and I haven't let it organically grow to the point where it can support it. Shoot, I better quit my inspired thing and find another job back over here on the motivation track. And so for a lot of people, it tends to be an all or nothing. What I'm offering is this. Ease your way over, little by little by little. I can tell you how I did it, and I can tell you how my husband did it. My husband was a wood finisher for a long, long time. And he really felt it was motivation for sure. He was motivated. It was all he knew. He was good at it. He had integrity in his work, but it was for the paycheck. And when I asked him, would you do it for free? He's like, no way. So then he decided, all right, I've got to start looking at what it looks like. What does it look like to do what I love? Always loved animals. Felt called or pulled, and I won't get into all the nitty-gritty details on what that looked like, but he became very, very clear that dog training was where he wanted to migrate to. So he started taking all of the courses that he needed to take, and he started doing the volunteer work that he needed to do on nights and weekends, by the way. He would do his wood finishing during the day, and then he started to sprinkle in the passion nights and weekends. The passion grew bigger than nights and weekends, so he started taking fewer wood finishing jobs. So he went from being 100% motivated to 0% inspired, and it started to slowly transition to 90-10, 80-20, 70-30, 60-40, 50-50, and there was a point where he was spending half of his time doing dog training and half of his time doing wood finishing. Until eventually what happened was he had to give up the wood finishing altogether because he was getting too busy with dogs, and then he's been a very busy dog trainer ever since. That is how you slowly grow. That is how you slowly grow, because he and I had a conversation about it, and he says, what I want to do is quit doing wood finishing altogether. That's what I want to do. But if I do that too soon, what will happen is I will require too much of my dog training business out the gate. I will be desperate for my phone to ring for dog training, and I will choke my dog training business before I've even fully developed it. And he says, and I don't want to do that to my dog training business. And I said, that makes perfect sense to me. He says, plus, I don't like the feeling of, oh my God, my phone needs to ring. Oh my God, my phone needs to ring. So he says, I've already got this established business that's paying the bills, and that's going to fund the transition. And I watched him do it. I watched him do it successfully. It didn't take nearly as long as either one of us thought that it would take. We were both pleasantly surprised. And so I had that as an example. And that actually became my reality when I moved out of corporate world and into this world, into my energy world. I did energy work, hypnotherapy, meditation, nights and weekends. And it was 90-10 for a long, long time, and then 80-20, 70-30, 60-40, 50-50, and then all of a sudden, there I was, and it was ready for me to grow it. So, as some of you, or all of you listening to this podcast, and this is resonating with you in one way, shape, or form, the first thing that I wanted to do was be really, really clear about the difference between motivation and inspiration, and the difference is huge. And for those of you who are like, you know what, I'm tired of waking up and grinding away and doing what I do and just, you know, my everything that I care about in the world is always around those 2 weeks of vacation that I get. Like, if that is all it is, that's not enough. And you can feel if it's not enough. You can feel it just feels like a drag and a grind and a hamster wheel. And so a lot of times people will jump ship in one way, shape, or form. Let's move, let's do this, let's do that, I can't stand it anymore, and I get it, and for some people, that is the right way to go. But for those of you who are like, you know what, I want to start dabbling in this, I want to start spending more time on the inspiration track, I want to start doing things that hop me out of bed, as opposed to me rolling out of bed with a ugh, what I would say is, start sprinkling that into your existing life at 5%, 10%, and let it organically grow. There's only 24 hours in a day, so you're going to have to be spending time doing one or the other. And if the thing that makes you feel inspired, makes your heart swell, makes you excited to jump out of bed is only 5% right now, I will take it. Because 5% will take and grow into 10%, and then 10% will grow into 20%, and then 20%, next thing you know, it's 50-50, and then you're going, woo, this new thing that I started is sort of taking off, and I'm excited because it feels good to be inspired 50% of the time. For some of you, you're okay with a life of motivation 70, inspiration 30. That feels like a balance for you. Only you know. But for those of you who are really looking to get out of that thing that just, I'm only doing this for the paycheck, I know that's true, and I want to be one of those people that is inspired by their life, excited about their life, passionate about what they're doing, maybe the answer for you, just maybe the answer for you is to do it a little bit at a time, let it grow, and eventually tip the scales in your favor. So I hope that all of that gives you a little food for thought for your 2019. Where can I sprinkle in things that are inspiring to me, that make me feel good, that make me feel excited? Where can I start to do more and more and more of that and tip the scales in my favor? That is a big conversation. One thing that I will say is, since we're talking about putting a train on a track, one little thing that you can do every day that will get you in the position at the start of every morning is to do this cute little thing. What if the first thing that you did every day was do something, say something, or present yourself in a way that is inspiring to another? Because inspiration begets inspiration. If you're looking to be inspired, why not start by inspiring another? What if the first thing that you did every day was send a text to someone that you appreciate and let them know why you appreciate them? What if the first thing that you did every day was pick up the phone, call someone that you love and say, hey, I've literally got 15 seconds before I gotta hop in the shower, but I just wanted to call you and tell you how much I enjoyed our lunch on Thursday. That lunch was so much fun. You are so funny and so charismatic, and I found myself laughing so hard, and I just had to tell you how much I appreciate our friendship. What if one of your new little resolutions, if you want to call it that, is to start every day with a gift for someone else? Because gifts beget gifts. Inspiration begets inspiration. As Mother Teresa would say, be the change that you want to see in the world. If you want to live a more inspired life, then start every day by inspiring someone else through love and kindness and appreciation and gratitude. Maybe send an email to someone. Maybe do something. Start every day on the right foot and let somebody else know how much they are appreciated, loved, and that you are grateful for them. And that is an easy thing to do. That's going to be sprinkling in a little appreciation and inspiration right from the beginning of the day. Plus, you're going to make someone else really smile. And I love that. I love everything about that. So I hope that that gives you all some food for thought. That was a big, big, juicy conversation. The difference between motivation and inspiration. And my hope for all of you is that you all sprinkle a little bit more of a life to be in spirit about and with. All right, everyone. Happy New Year to everyone. And thanks for tuning into this podcast. May the force be with you. And I look forward to talking to you all again very soon. But for now, have a great rest of your day.